Strange aspect of his criticisms is that they are aimed at the puppets, our congressman and president, not the puppeteer, the Israeli lobby. Since a man of the stature of Huckabee is mystified at US conduct in the Middle East and doesn't apparently understand why officials of the US government don't speak out, don't criticize Israel, and are timid and apprehensive, there must be many more people in the dark concerning the direction and formulation of US foreign policy in the Middle East. The next chapter, The Israeli Lobby in Action, will, if nothing else, enlighten Huckabee and other well-meaning people who are baffled and confused about America's Middle East policies. Chapter 7, The Israeli Lobby in Action. Inata Lekastoff, popular CBS show 60 Minutes, on October 23, 1988, a 15-minute segment of the program was devoted to the political activities and the power and influence of the Israeli lobby. The distinguished interviewees included Charles Percy, former senator and chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, George Ball, former Under Secretary of State and U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Rabbi Miller, vice president of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC, and Senator Daniel Inouye. The following excerpts are taken from the official transcript of the program. APAC Mike Wallace: there are few lobbies working the corridors of Capitol Hill with as much clout as APAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. They're the people who tell the Congress which legislation affecting Israel they like, and which they don't. They are not agents of the Israeli government, but out of personal conviction as American Jews they lobby the Congress and the administration for measures that support the state of Israel. But the charge is that apart from lobbying, APAC also gets involved in election campaigns by setting the tone, the line for about 80 pro-Israel political action committees around the country, pro-Israel PACs that have given $6 million this year to a variety of candidates. One race they're focusing on is the senatorial contest in Rhode Island, where they say Republican Senator John Chafee has a poor record on Israel. And APAC says it is the spearhead for support for Israel here in Washington. It is not a political action committee, it does not make campaign contributions. But the clout of APAC here on Capitol Hill, George Ball, practically every congressman and senator says his prayers to the APAC lobby. Oh, they've done an enormous job of corrupting the American democratic process. It's the most effective lobby in the United States today, and I would put that ahead of the Wallace, what's wrong with picking a candidate to support on the way he has voted? Isn't that the American way? Ball/think it's a caricature of the American way. Rabbi Israel Miller: the word power, when it's used for APAC, is a myth. It's baloney. APAC is powerful only because the American Wallace, Rabbi Israel Miller, is a vice president of APAC. APAC is, in recent years, APAC and the pro-Israel PACs have helped defeat, among others, Congressman Paul Findley and Pete McCloskey, Senators Harris and Schmidt of New Mexico, Walter Huddleston of Kentucky, and Chuck Percy of Illinois. Like Senator Chafee, Percy too came out in favor of that sale of the wax to the Saudis. Senator Charles Percy: I finally reached the stage where, as chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, I saw our foreign policy totally turned around with a Muslim world, 800 million people looking askance at the United States of America. What is happening? Who is running the foreign policy? Can Israel and the Prime Minister have more power than the entire Senate of the United States or the President of the United States? And that, to me/Wallace, that particular wax sale to Saudi Arabia did manage to pass the Congress, and in 1984, pro-Israel PACs and other individuals spent millions to unseat the powerful Senator Percy. Let me quote to you the words of the executive director of APAC. After the defeat of Chuck Percy, a few years back, he said to a Jewish group in Toronto, quote, "All the Jews in America, from coast to coast, gathered to oust Percy. And the American politicians, those who hold positions now, and those who aspire, got the message." Rabbi Miller: it was an infelicitous expression of that which Tom felt in his enthusiasm, and in his zeal. I think if he had it to say all over again, he would have put it altogether differently. Wallace: Rabbi Miller, about a year ago, the New York Times wrote, "APAC has become a major force in shaping US policy in the Middle East. the organization has gained the power to influence a presidential candidate's choice of staff, to block practically any arms sale to an Arab country, and to serve as a catalyst for intimate military relations between the Pentagon and the Israeli army. How did Rabbi Miller? Again, I'll say that's very flattering, but it's a myth. It's just not so. The American people support Israel, and therefore Wallace, one of Israel's staunchest supporters, is Senator Daniel Inouye of Hawaii, who says that AIPAC has nothing to do with his Senator Daniel Inouye. If I can help Israel help herself, in every instance I do so. I'm also convinced it's in our national interest. I've yet to see any country in that part of the world that is as reliable, as far as our strategic requirements are concerned, as Israelis. Ball, I don't believe it's an ally at all. We have no alliance with it. I mean, they insist on total freedom of action, and they insist on our subsidizing their total freedom of action. Wallace, the amount of that subsidy is remarkable, and a testament to AIPAC's clout on Capitol Hill. Altogether, Israel gets more than $3 billion a year in assistance from the United States. Senator Percy, sometimes the votes go through without a single debate. Involving billions of dollars. You couldn't spend that kind of money in this country without a huge debate going on. But a foreign government gets this money without debate because, simply, it sits the response by AIPAC to the CBS telecast, was made by Morris Abram, chairman of the Conference of Presidents and Major American Jewish Organizations, and reported in the Jerusalem Post of November 5, 1988. Abram said that the program was filled with distortions, innuendos, and inaccuracies that made it a piece of shabby journalism. It is important to note that in response to two different questions, Rabbi Miller, vice president of AIPAC, made the astonishing statements that the political power of AIPAC is a myth, it's baloney, it's just not so. After hearing these remarkable statements of Rabbi Miller, the vast viewer audience of 60 Minutes and the rest of the American people are entitled to know and determine for themselves whether Rabbi Miller is right in characterizing the political power of AIPAC as a myth, or shabby journalism as the lobby calls it, or whether it is a matter with which the American public should be seriously concerned as we enter a critical period when the fate of Israel and world peace may be in the balance. For this chapter, The Israeli Lobby in Action, we have relied heavily upon the text and sources contained in the book entitled They Dare to Speak Out, by ex-Congressman Paul Findlay. Having served in Congress for 22 years, before being defeated by an AIPAC-organized campaign, Mr. Findlay is in a unique position, as a former congressman, to shed light directly from the halls of Congress on the operation of the Israeli lobby and the dangers it poses to our political process. Is the political power of AIPAC a myth? It is generally acknowledged in Congress that AIPAC is the preeminent lobbying power in Washington. However, the Washington presence is only the most visible tip of the lobby. Its effectiveness rests heavily on the foundation built nationally by U.S. Jews, who function through more than 200 national groups. Actually, those who provide the political activism for all organizations in U.S. Jewry probably do not exceed 250,000. The lobby's most popular newsletter, AIPAC's Near East Report, has a distribution that the organization believes is read by most Jewish citizens who have an interest in pro-Israel political action, whether their primary interest is AIPAC, Bnei Brith, the American Jewish Committee, the Anti-Defamation League, the Jewish National Fund, the United Jewish Appeal, or any of the other main national groups. The newsletter is sent without charge to news media, congressmen, key government officials, and other people prominent in foreign policy. AIPAC members get the newsletter as part of their annual dues. In practice, the lobby groups function as an informal extension of the Israeli government. This was illustrated when AIPAC helped draft the official statement defending Israel's 1981 bombing of the Iraqi nuclear reactor, and then issued it at the same hour as Israel's embassy. In the past, no Jewish organization has ever publicly taken issue with positions and policies adopted by Israel. 6. AIPAC's charter defines its mission as legislative action, but it now also represents the interests of Israel whenever there is a perceived challenge to that country's interests. Because AIPAC's staff members are paid from contributions by American citizens, they need not register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. In effect, However, they serve the same function as foreign agents. Over